Podcasting 2.0 for September 2nd, 2022, episode 100, Streamers and Dreamers. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0, your weekly board meeting for the podcasting next generation. Everything happening at podcastindex.org. Of course, any developments with apps, with wallets, with hosts, with the mosts, or maybe just stuff that's going on at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who 2 years ago today said, sure, let's build it. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
One time for the one time.
No, I have removed it. I have removed the air horn.
No, you did not.
I did. Yes.
Dvorak ruined it.
He did.
Really overused it.
He did.
And he screwed it up for the rest of us.
He did. It's no good, man. It's no good.
Are the channels down? Channel down. I think because the podcastindex.social was blowing up a while ago. It's like, the channels are down. We killed the channels.
What happened? I don't know anything about this.
They're just blowing us up with episode 100 boosts.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the stuff that's I've seen it all come in. And nothing's broken as far as I can tell. But I do hope Tanner Helps is listening. Because, you know, I don't understand this value for value stuff, you know, it just doesn't really work.
No, it just doesn't work at all. It was a failed experiment. We tried.
Oh, I see what's going on. Let me count the digits. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Set. Whoa.
1,001,001 sats from Dreb Scott.
Baller! Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Jeez, good God Almighty!
Channel status A-OK.
we're still 5x5. We're in the pipe,
as far as I know.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, and you know what? So this is a beautiful moment. Oh, there's sup yo sup. One time for the chimps in the 305 with a 100,001 sats. Yeah, this will go on forever.
This is not going to end well. This is going to end with melted nodes is what this is.
Yeah. This is one of the beautiful things of value for value is the numerology when people, and it's kind of cool that we have such large arrays of numbers to play with. You know, you do 1,000 sats, you can do a lot of fun numbers with that. Yes, I hear you 15-year-olds with your calculator upside down, you know, but you can do as many as you want. Really, you can have 100 million. That's all fine. But when people just automatically, we didn't say give us 100,000 sat boosts. People just do that. It became a whole thing. This is how it works. Pay attention. This is how value for value functions.
That's a perfect way to go into that topic. I mean, because I had written this. Okay, you know, I wrote a bunch of notes about a bunch of things, but here's let's see. If you go back to the earliest episodes of this show, compare them to what is going on each episode now.
Yeah,
the feedback from the listeners, the jingles, the boosts, the things that we do. None of that was part of any plan
ever.
The listeners, the producers of the show, did it. They created the show that they want. You know,
you have now graduated Adam Curry's Value for Value University.
Yes, not including the audience in the show. If you don't make the audience a part of the show, then they're never going to feel a part of the show, and they're not going to feel the value connection.
Yes, your mileage will vary significantly.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a gimmick. The listeners create the show. They help you create the show.
And that's where value for value expands from time, talent, and treasure. Because you can help in many ways.
C-Dub says, don't consume the content, become the content. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
And, you know, I gave it a stab at BitBlock Boom. I don't know if you had a chance to see it. The audio was really, really low. So I don't know if many people watched the video.
Yeah, I saw. I watched it in bits and pieces all throughout the week. It was I couldn't get one consistent time slot to do it. But no, it was good. It was good. You really.
No, I'm getting tighter. It's getting tighter.
You had a lot. You had more freedom to do it there at that conference than you did at Podcast Movement. You had such a tight window there at.
There was no explaining value for value at Podcast Movement, but. This was also a room full of Bitcoiners. So people who already kind of have an understanding of time, value, you know, these concepts, that's kind of baked into a Bitcoiner, which is, I think is why it's so attractive to me. It's like, oh, okay, I get it. So it was really easy to, I think, it's a big concept for people. And I think unless you really, that's why I love what Kyron is doing, the Value for Value podcast. Unless you really pay attention to how this feedback loops work. I'm trying to come up with a great acronym. You know, it's basically it's ask, it's repeat, it's ask, acknowledge. You know, I want to come up with something like arse, but I couldn't, so I kind of gave up. I gave up on trying to name it. Once I can name it, it'll flow better. you know, and it's easy to miss what is going on because. The main point is it's a way to, if I can just use the word, to monetize, but that's really incorrect because you're exchanging value, but it's just, it's like Venmo. I mean, just trying to explain something easily. Monetize. And it's a content format. Mm-hmm. And we haven't figured it out for all podcasts, et cetera. I mean, there's many different ways of doing it, but the acknowledgement cycle has to be in there. You know, it's like Texas Slim, he stayed overnight. Whenever Slim drives from the panhandle to Austin, which I think is like 500 miles or something, and he drives it a lot. Yeah, so he'll stop off in Fredericksburg. You know, we feed his horses and we put him up in the bunkhouse.
Where does, what's the big city in the panhandle? What?
Amarillo.
Amarillo, yes, yeah. Amarillo, yeah, with the Cadillacs.
He's up there. Yeah, he's up there.
Okay.
And so he's running Value for Value, and this is very difficult for him because he literally is a cowboy. He grew up as a cowboy, as a rancher. He rode rodeo and professionally. He's been around cattle and around, you know, just farm all his life. But he then also got an education in telecommunications, and he worked in, I think, telecommunications intelligence or something. You know, it's all Austin. It's a spook city. And then after he broke his neck, he got into food. What he calls food intelligence. But anyway, so he's not a guy that is. It's not in his blood to ask for money. That's not how it works. But he was able to translate it to his own personality into a barn raising. Oh, a barn raising. Yeah, everyone comes out and pitches in. Oh, okay. So he got that concept. And then he got $1,000 donation from somebody, which was the largest he's received so far, and said, okay, you have to acknowledge this. Yeah, that's a lot of money. Yeah, you got to acknowledge it because that also becomes aspirational. It sets a bar. It's a community thing. I can't explain. We need a psychologist. It just works.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned psychology because I had a long discussion with Tanner. He actually pinged me on or DM'd me on Twitter, and he does this from time to time.
You want to explain what the impetus was for this ping?
You know, I really don't know. I don't really talk to him, and we're not.
Well, wasn't it because people were ragging on his post?
I think he published the post. Roughly after we had this discussion, right toward the end of
Well, you did a good job.
Evidently. But maybe I didn't do as good a job as I thought. But, you know, he pings me every now and then, just, you know, once in a while, and just talks about value for value. I think he knows he's missing something. And I think there's a mental thing, a disconnect there, because I think he knows he's missing something because it's clearly successful. I'm speaking for him unjustifiably. he sees that it is successful in certain situations, and it's like, well, whoa, why? Like, I think he's being intellectually honest, you know, as far as his understanding of the concept will take him. You know, that's as far as I can say because I don't know.
Right. No, I think it's just blockage. It's just blockage.
I think it is. I think it's blockage.
And actually, I prayed for Tanner this morning. I'm like, help him see the light. I'm not kidding. I'm like, I'm a leaky bucket on this shit now. It's like, I'm not going to get mad about this. Like, how can I help him see the light? You know, Slim gets it. He had needed a different paradigm.
I think the hardest part for a person who thinks like Tanner, as a podcast consultant type and this kind of thing, is they see...
There's no money in consulting value for value. Thank you. You answered the question. Sure. You answered the question. There you go.
Is economics in general, but also it extends to podcasting. Economics is not a math problem. It seems that way because, you know, we have to do calculations and keep ledgers and stuff.
And by the way, Dave is an Austrian economist in his spare time. I know this for a fact.
That is the Austrian principle, is economics is not a math problem. It's a behavior problem. And when I say problem, I don't mean like something negative. I just mean it's a behavioral thing to figure out. It's why Ludwig von Mises didn't talk about math.
Right, exactly.
Or models. He talked about praxeology, which is the study of human behavior. If I'm a producer and I offer a thing or this sets of conditions are true, then what type of behavior is the most likely outcome? That's the types of questions you ask about economic things. You don't ask, well, in, you know, P over Y, you know, on a slope of X equal, you know, that's not the right thing. So when you see somebody who's trying to understand V for V and they're putting it into, well, if I have this many listeners and I have this many, you know, and this many are engaged for this many episodes, and then I can get this sort of CPM on this many.
Sure, like, of course.
No, you've already missed it.
Oh, thank you. We should have been talking about this. I know that this is your stance because we talked about it, but I think outside of the show, I'm so glad that you're bringing this up.
Well, no matter how much, it's not a math problem, and no matter how compelling you think the math is, you could write all this stuff out and it can make perfect sense. I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. Ask Michelle Obama. It does not work that way.
Me up until Michelle Obama. Then I kind of lost.
shows that you think are going to be successful and have certain audience sizes and that kind of
thing. Oh, her podcast. Always
okay. Yes.
I was like, sorry.
But this again applies to all of economics. Aggregate numbers are only useful after the fact.
Trailing indicator.
It is. Modeling them always fails. That's why central banks get it wrong so often. Macroeconomics is smoke and mirrors. It's not something that you can do, forecasting in that way. It really all comes down to this, I think. You know, you have two... Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say an excellent example of that was cheerleader Trump. Cheerleader Trump had a way of, I believe he actually moved markets in positive ways because of his incessant, constant reaffirmation and cheerleading of the markets.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, you see it in the opposite way. What happens exactly. when what was being predicted yesterday was, okay, if there's 100,000 print on the jobless number, then the markets are going to skyrocket.
Yeah, fly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's like, that's exactly what you wouldn't expect. It's like, but then the thinking is, okay, well, if it's a bad print, you know, on the unemployment rate, and that means that the Federal Reserve will be more likely to do quantitative easing or to go dovish, therefore stock market boom. It's like,
right.
That's all behavior. None of that is math. None of it at all. And, you know, you have, it really all comes down to, you have subjective value. These are economic laws. Subjective value. The value of a thing is always determined not by you, but by the individual that's acquiring it, and marginal utility. The more of a thing you have, the less value you place on each additional unit of that thing. Those two principles are not math, they're behavior. And if you don't understand that, you'll never understand value for value, because value for value relies on those understandings of human behavior to function.
And it's interesting, because what you said there, I would not have understood if I didn't understand value for value, because I've seen value for value in action, you know, 15 years. By the way, I was just thinking, podcast consultants, I'm going to start praying for you too, because I have
all
a plan.
Yes.
No, it's a group. I pray for groups. Come on. The Podcasting 2.0 people. Right. The No Agenda Nation people.
I do,
but Texas Slim would be separate. I pray for you all the time. Keep him alive, Lord.
Thank you, man. But I do.
But consultants, I always kind of like, because of this problem that you just highlighted, like, you know, CPMs and blah, 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 I think becoming a podcasting 2.0 value for value consultant, where you in perpetuity, or in some scale, receive a split of that person's value block.
Mm.
And I'll take you one step further. You show me how you teach people value for value as a consultant, and I will give you an official Podfather certification as a value for value consultant for a sub-split of your split, obviously. But just 1%.
This is like Trump University.
I don't know if I should be offended or not.
Do a bunch of stuff, and then I'll give you, I'll certify you like you're awesome.
Yes, Dave, thanks for blowing my cover. But seriously, think about, why wouldn't you consult someone, help them with value for value, help them hone their pitch, help them with, you know, the reminder, like a newsletter or some way that you remind people it's coming, you know, the social media. There's a lot of different things. And then for X period or whatever it is, you get put in the value block. And of course, you get your value based upon how well your client does. This is not a bad vocation.
It's actually a genius idea. That's a really good idea. Cause it's just a, like, I'm trying to find an analogy to that. To something, because there's got to be stuff that works that way already, right?
No, not at all. There's no analogy to this. This is completely new.
All right, let me try you. We'll try you this one. Sports. So
I don't know anything about this, but okay, sports. Yes.
You could have, maybe the analogy is like a sports. So you at the elite level, you know, take somebody like a Tiger Woods. Those guys still have trainers and coaches.
Sure.
And they pay those guys, and they get paid good money. You know, the better they do, the more they get paid.
This is my mistake. John and I, Dvorak and I, have been doing this for free with people for a long time. We're idiots. Mm-hmm. But of course, we didn't have the mechanism. Now we have the mechanism. This is really interesting. I like this.
I like that idea. It's a really good idea.
And maybe you call it a value for value coach. I mean, that's probably a more accurate description of what it is. It's verifiable that the person has you in their split. You know, I don't know, man. That just kind of came to me. I'm like, I'm seeing an exit strategy for myself. If I can get 20 podcasts that I'm coaching.
Sell your podcast on the podcast broker and then go into this.
Yeah, nice. Shall we bring our guest in? Because I feel like our guest can contribute very much to today's program, which of course is not even a program. It's a meeting of the board. And so, of course, I know our guest, and I know his contributions, but I was thinking, hold on a second. What exactly does this guy do? And I was like, and I look at his LinkedIn, and which I put a link to, but I'm going to read verbatim what Dave said, because I thought this kind of covered it all. Host of the Causality podcast, owner of the Engineered Network, the developer of the Soundbiter app, several boosting scripts, including the Cron Boost, I think, has 2.0 integrated across all of his shows, an early adopter of 2.0 stuff, and he's an Australian. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to John Chidji.
G'day. How's it going, guys?
And good day to you, sir. Early morning for you, I guess. What is it, 7:30?
It is exactly 7:30, yes. So thanks for having me on, guys. It's a thrill to be on here. It really is. Especially on show 100. That's kind of blowing me away because I've been listening almost from the beginning.
Oh, man. Did you bring a present?
I'll just shove it down the microphone. Hang on.
Yeah. Yummy. Oh,
did you get that? Nice.
Yeah. He has that Australian radio guy humor. Were you in radio ever, John?
Not radio, right? Not broadcast radio. No. Not exactly. I've been an amateur radio operator for forever, but there's
Bro, 73s.
So, yeah, I know. Right. I kind of,
what's your call sign? What's your call sign?
VK4EII. Unfortunately,
VK4EII.
You'll have to
EII. Okay.
Yeah. You'll have to go back through the archives. Unfortunately, I had a long running conversation with my significant other regarding putting up antennas in my yard, and it did not go my way. So some things may have lapsed, but I have every intention of reviving them shortly. But that's another story.
Yeah, I just made sure we got a bigger yard. I haven't set anything up yet, but I think every ham has that conversation. Actually, I haven't logged into qrz.com so long. Let me see if I you got any photos on your profile page. I'm a nerd.
What's the big antenna? The one that just takes up so much space? Is that a 2 meter?
No, that'd be more like a 10 meter. Okay. I'm sorry, a 40 meter or God forbid, 80 meter.
Because you have to stretch. We used to always the way we'd do it to stretch the wire between like two trees in the backyard, and it'd just be this bit take up half the yard.
Yep. I used to have a G5RV, which was a multi-band dipole, and it was pretty good. And I tried doing an inverted L for 160 meters because I was truly insane. And I ended up, I grabbed a capacitor out of an old TV set and I was using it to try and tune it. Yeah, and I didn't stop to think that maybe the voltage there was a little high, and I ended up blowing a hole in the webbing of my hand.
I was going to say, that can be like 10,000 volts or something, some crazy amount. Yeah.
Yes, I have a little scar on the webbing of my hand, so that was a nice
momento. You're not a real ham until you've had RF burn or something like that. You know, we've all had that. You know, all of a sudden, I feel really weird. Have you ever had one of those moments? You blow like half a kilowatt. It's like, how do you feel? I feel kind of tingly. Okay, let's unkey. Okay, maybe we should look at what's going on here.
Something is wrong. Oh, dear.
Oh, that's very funny.
Good times. But anyway.
I've been wanting to have you on the show forever, John, because, I mean, you went into with both feet like so early and just, you know, full on, like you embraced the running with scissors ethos pretty much right off the bat.
Embraced it before you coined the phrase.
Yes, you did. You conceptualized it, even if you didn't coin it. So, you started. Let's see. You started V for V. You were one of the first V for V value tag podcasts. I mean, you had to have been in the first maybe five.
I figured I was in the first maybe 10 or so, maybe first dozen. I looked back and I was, when did I actually do my first post on it? It was in December of 2020. And so I then just for the hell of it, I looked through my, and I guess that's, my position is that I own the whole stack. So I host my own feed. I say host in air quotes. I mean, it goes via Cloudflare. So, you know, there's that, but anyway, so I use GoHugo as a static file generator and I write all my own templates and everything. And so I kind of control the whole stack. So I don't have to ask or wait for something like a Libsyn or.
Are you an Emacs guy?
No, come on.
I don't like Vi, and I much prefer Nano, but this may set us at odds. I'm sorry, Adam.
Wow.
Nano.
You have to understand that I grew up in Marvel of these guys who would just be, their fingers are flying, and I'm just looking at the screen, and I'm like, this is like magic. And I spent years dropping it, picking it up, picking it up. And by the time I finally got a little proficient, everyone's like, blah, Nano, bitch.
Well, I will have to say I saw a interview with John Carmack recently, and he is using Visual Studio. So he was specifically asked about like VI and Emacs, and he's like, I tried it, I just can't get into it. So I'm fine with being a frou-frou IDE guy. I do not need that in my life.
Okay.
I don't need RC files in my life. So are you doing video on your stuff? Because you were for a while.
I did. Okay. You know, like I have too many podcasts that I've done, and I started a lot of them, right? You know, and so I tried the same thing with video, and I thought, hey, I could do a video podcast and do value for value on that as well. And so earlier this year, well, it was actually over the Christmas break, I had the brainwave or inspiration, and I did this little spin-off, I guess you could call it a pragmatic, called Pragmatic Electric. And I did a whole bunch of very short, like 3 to 8 minute long videos, post them on the website, put them up with a video enclosure in the feed, and all the value for value stuff and such. And I also put them up on my YouTube channel, but of course, you know, that wasn't really the intent. I wanted to test the waters, and it got some, you know, downloads, I guess, but really wasn't all that popular. So I haven't got back to it. I think I did 5 episodes and left it there. So yep. I don't know. Might come back to it.
You have podcast debris.
Yes, okay. I do. So I had a look through my XML file, and I looked at all the different tags I've added, and I actually surprised myself. Just to list them, I've added locked, funding, value, GUID, social, trailer, license, medium, chapters, soundbite, images, location, transcript, and person.
Jeez. And
nice.
Because why not, right?
Yeah.
Because I've been podcasting since 2012-ish, although my first efforts were terrible. That's okay. I've gotten better with age. Anyway, I'd like to think so. And when I came across Podcasting 2.0, I was racking my brains. How did I come across this? I just came across it somehow on the Fediverse. I don't know how. I'm just glad I did.
Okay.
And it was about, I joined about episode 6. And then I had listened to the back catalog, and I've kept up every week ever since. And I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I could add that. Oh, that's a great idea. I could add that. And I just, you know, yeah, it just kind of snowballed. And yeah, there you go.
When you don't have customers, and you can, and you own the whole stack, it's so freeing. You can just do whatever you want.
That was always our business plan.
Yeah. Don't have any customers.
No customers. Well, if they don't pay us, they're not really customers.
That's right. So what is your, so we were talking before you, entered the boardroom. What is your, on the value for value thing? Like you integrated into your show. Your show is different. It's unique. How do you, I don't want to ask an open-ended question. Like, how do you conceptualize V for V? It's more like I'm trying to understand how you determine how that you're going to put it into the pitch or make it part of your show. Cause I like how you do it. I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of your stuff, but how do you as a host, let me step back for a second. One reason I really wanted to have you on the show is because you're technical, but you're also a podcast host, and you're a podcaster, and we don't have podcasters on the show very often. So we have really more deep technical, like coders. And since you're both, it's nice to hear what your perspective is from a podcaster side of things on value for value. Instead of just on the technical side.
Okay. Well, I guess the thing is that I never thought of it or saw it as value for value by name necessarily, but it's something that I know that that has been referred to that way a lot by you guys and Adam, of course. Historically, it's something that's sort of become an ethos of sorts, I guess. But the point is that Prior to me integrating all this stuff, I did have sort of loose feedback mechanisms, I guess you could say. And like, oh, you know, if you want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon. I started up a Patreon in 2015 when I launched the Engineered Network as a concept, I guess you could call it, more than anything. And when I did that, I said, look, I'll give you guys, like anyone who's a platinum, sorry, hang on, not platinum, silver producer and above, well, they will get acknowledgement. Like, so I thank them every episode. And that's sort of like an acknowledgement, the acknowledgement component of the value for value. And when this value for value came along, I hadn't really come across Bitcoin. I mean, I knew what it was. I just didn't dig into it. And you guys inspired me to dig into it. So I built my own node, and I started to realize that what I was doing for the longest time was kind of a very loose, slow, very platform dependent kind of value for value thing. Because if I'm going through Patreon and Patreon decide, oh, you know what, John, we don't like what you said on this episode, because let's say I do an episode of Causality and it's about, I don't know, ExxonMobil or I don't know, and it's critical of them. And they say, oh, you know, we don't like this guy and we're just going to, you know, deplatform me off of Patreon. I've lost all of my patrons and I've lost a decent chunk of my income. So when I saw value for value and I thought about it, I'm like, well, you know what? This would basically sidestep that issue completely, because it would be almost impossible. I say almost impossible. Anything's possible if you're really motivated, but far more difficult, which is why I like it when Adam says it's censorship resistant. It's resistant, yes. Not immune, but definitely resistant to those sorts of deplatforming attempts. And when I brought it on, I just found it was a natural fit just to simply extend that. And so, for example, now, Dave, you started supporting Causality through repeating cron boosts. And by the way, thank you for that script. It inspired me to write my sort of domain with using GRPC. But the idea is that now I've added you as well, because I have a script that then looks for that and says, yep, that's monthly. There you go. And I add that to every show read now. And that's the feedback mechanism. So
I don't know
if that answered the question or not, but I see it as it fitted nicely, to be honest, with what I was doing. And it's just made it better.
So was the prime motivator there? Because there's two parts to the value for value. Was the prime motivator the censorship resistance, or do you also see a benefit to not structuring levels for people and leaving it free and open?
I do like that as well. Okay, it's a really good question. I have multiple tiers in my Patreon, and I did that so that people could feel like they could support at any level that they felt. But the problem is that they're still predefined levels. And ultimately, you can't tell someone what something's worth, which is what you were just talking about before. And so the value for value also gives people the complete ultimate flexibility to contribute whatever they want on an infinitely granular scale, which, you know, is brilliant. And you can't really do that, because you can't have an infinite number of tiers in Patreon, but you can with value to value, so to speak.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we were talking about in this conversation that I had with Tanner, was that it's about eliminating the floor and the ceiling. It really is. Like, when you, I don't think this is hard for people to, I think, get their head around, is that when you have a set price on something, it's not like there's an illusion of control where you say, well, I'm extracting this value from the listener or from the, you know, consumer or whatever. But this really doesn't work that like that, because if the price isn't right, they just won't buy it. And so, like, within the that goes back to the marginal utility aspect. And that I think is part, the subjective value part of it, I think, is easy to understand. Where the listener assigns the value, the marginal utility part is harder to understand, I think. You know, and the concept there, for people that don't know that term, is that when you ask yourself the question, not why would you buy something, but why would you keep buying? Why would you keep buying more of a thing? So something like, let's just say that you go to the grocery store and the hot dogs are on sale, and you buy, and they're on sale for half price. And so instead of buying one pack of hot dogs like you normally would, you buy two. The question is, why wouldn't you buy three or four or five? Like, why would you stop buying them if they're a really good price? And the answer is because every time with every additional pack that you buy, every additional unit, your perceived value of that thing, or your value you place on every additional unit, goes down. So that's the marginal utility. And the fact that there's 4 million podcasts out there, there's always something that's you can listen to next. There's no lack of content. So how do you get your listener to not only value your content, but see it as unique, as something that's not just another pack of hot dogs? And that's where removing all the barriers, removing this sort of artificial ceiling and artificial floor, creates a range, this huge window where any perceived value can be rewarded, not just predefined levels where you say, okay, in order to get, you know, in order to show me value, give me value back, you have to hit this threshold or this other threshold, which are arbitrary. You remove the barriers, and then you show the listener the uniqueness and the value proposition that you have. I think that's probably the harder part to understand. But when you do the cron job, here's the way I saw that when I wrote that thing and started sending out cron job boosts. I'll just be honest with you. I love Causality. It's one of my favorite podcasts. It's one of my top three. And I was afraid that you would stop. I was afraid that if I don't support John, because I know that your show is very unique. It gives gives information that I can't get anywhere else from an expert in the field. And also that it takes a long time and a lot of prep. I mean, it takes you, I don't know how many hours to prep an episode of Causality, but it's clearly a lot. And I'm like, you know what? This will burn somebody out. If I don't reward him, he may stop doing it at some point. And the longer it goes, the reward is actually going to go up because I'll get more afraid of that.
I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate, I'm grateful that I have people that are fans of Causality, you know, as much as you are. I hear what you're saying in the situation with would I get burned out? The truth is I already kind of had that burnout moment back in early 2015, and I actually stopped podcasting for nearly 6 months. And because I used to do Pragmatic every week, and I used to do similar levels of prep. My record was 40 hours of prep for an episode. And I was doing a day job, and I had young kids, and it was not a good situation. So I had to just sort of like take a pause. So the cadence I've tried to go for is every month and doing a monthly show, because weekly at that level of detail, that like the level of quality I want to have in my shows, I need to put that time in. I feel like I need to. I can't not do it. And the great thing about the way that Value for Value has been set up with boostergrams and streaming sats. And now we've got, cron boosting, for example, for regular repeated boosting, is you've got the ultimate flexibility. You can choose how to support your shows the way that you want to. And I think that that is something that is just not available anywhere else.
Oh, man, I love listening to you nerds. I wanted to throw something on the table that kind of hit me. It's really simple. And it kind of came bubbling up for me during our time in Dallas. It's like, wow. We need more people developing apps, and we need to somehow communicate that this is the hard part. I believe there's a market for some other podcast listening experiences. And one that comes to mind is what I'm calling the Oma app. Any of you speak old Texan, German Texan? Oma is the grandma. And when I envision this, because I see it all the time on TV, it's like, look at this phone, and it has huge buttons, and it has a really loud speakerphone.
Like the jitterbug?
Yes, yeah, like that, like the jitterbug.
Okay.
There's a significant audience that is just struggling a little bit because, it's still just a little bit too, most of the screens are busy, there's clips, and there's all kinds of features. I'm talking something really, really simple. You know, okay. Like just simpler than anything we have. It just feels like there's a market there. And I kind of know this because there's people who are 60 and up. They're trying to, you know, they listen to Curry and the Keeper, which is a surprising audience, turns out. And they're really struggling and they're trying. And I can see it's just, there's just too many options, too many triple button, you know, triple dot menus that are hidden. Mm-hmm. It's just not a normal discovery mode for, I think, a very large group.
What's your Daily Driver podcast app, John, to put you on the spot?
Well, I actually have two now. So prior to podcasting 2.0, I used Overcast. But since podcasting 2.0 apps have essentially matured and support the whole value for value thing, I now run two. So anything that's is a streaming value app, I play through Castomatic, and anything else that isn't goes through Overcast because, yeah, I just, yeah, Castomatic.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I pretty much live in Castomatic and then I bounce over to Overcast when I need to. And I think what I like about Castomatic may be what you're talking about, Adam. It's the touch points and are real big, and it just feels less cluttered and busy.
Crap. Yeah, this is the one I really don't use because I no longer have Apple in my life. Right, I've rejected Apple from my life. Interesting. Okay. I can dig one up somewhere and check it out. But besides that, I just feel that it's unexplored. I don't want people to get caught. I don't want them to be bashful about, you know, some other crazy idea you might have. Mm-hmm. Particularly as we're going to hopefully talk about music.
Yeah. I'm good. I mean, if you want to talk about that, let's go for it. You had some ideas this week, and I talked to the Dystopia guys last week, and I feel like we have a lot of routes to music, and I'm not sure how to make it go faster.
Yeah, this is what I've thought about.
Okay.
So first of all, we have, as far as I know, one app that has a music interface, CurioCaster. I don't know if there's any other. And I also don't, I think this should be a separate app. Spotify's having a hard time putting podcasting into music. Why would music into podcasting be any easier? That's just me. I'm not a developer, so I'm just laying out what I think would work.
Right.
It really didn't hit me until I realized how big, how overcapitalized, and what a shit show SoundCloud is. Man, you go look at their Wikipedia.
Me about their like corporate structure was messy or something.
Oh my god, so much money has gone into this, and of course, what happened is here. Let me just look it up for you. SoundCloud, Spotify. It is perhaps one of the largest collections of music in the world, but it's been completely mismanaged. As I said, overcapitalized. Yeah, just listen to this. It's like so much money went into this, hundreds of millions of dollars. And it got huge. You know, when it came, it got really big. Then the record labels, they tried to get in. They brought another 75 million here, 75 million there, purchased. But now it's just a thing that just sits there and is kind of has no future.
Yeah.
But what they have is RSS feeds with enclosures. So here's this thing. And shoot, I just closed it. If you look at the stats of how many artists, and I mean, it's kind of like everybody, I think every artist still has one, or they still upload there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like one of those things. You still have one, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like a MySpace account or something.
Exactly. You still have exactly. One. Yeah. Exactly. But you know how it works. You know how to upload. Yeah. So if someone wants to 2.0 enable their music, and this is hundreds of millions of artists, it's crazy how many people are on this thing. If they haven't already, in their settings, they have to enable RSS feed, enable the RSS feed. And then the next step would be an onboarding similar to Podcaster Wallet, except two things have to happen. And this is what I wanted to discuss because, you know, it's a shim. But unlike when we started with Podcasting 2.0, you know, the hosting companies, they had the RSS feed, they had the enclosures. We put the shim in the value block shim into the index. If we can add a shim that when someone claims their music wallet, that then we flip the bit on the medium tag to music, so every app now can recognize, okay. And then hopefully that would drive, if not SoundCloud itself, other places like Dystopia and other music sites to start generating 2.0 compatible feeds with the medium tag set to music. And then I think we're off to the races. You know, then how hard is it for Winamp to implement some of this stuff? You know, it's like, come on, people, let's get some energy into this shit.
Well, the only issue, this is why
there's two of us. Yes.
The only issue is that there would have to be some sort of, you can't assume that everything on SoundCloud is music because it's not. So the, you know, since SoundCloud can be anything, I mean, there's lots of spoken word podcasts that are on SoundCloud to use the RSS good point. Feed part.
But then you can say, does your feed contain music tracks? And then you make it a choice because some people actually use it as a podcasting platform. They have entire instructions on how to get your SoundCloud podcast into iTunes. So, but I think if we hand them that one extra bit at their responsibility, of course, then we can start developing music apps or start integrating music apps from the index.
What would that look like? So that would that look like onboarding them in the same way as like a Podcaster Wallet?
Yeah, exactly the same way. It could be an app itself who just like Fountain does it interacting with us.
And then you say, and then there's just this extra question that says, "Is this a music podcast?"
Yeah, and explain it. You know, this means each entry in your feed is a music track.
Okay. There's something out there. There's also something out there that can.
By the way, why don't we put that into Podcaster Wallet too? Just add that right in there. If someone has a podcast, they're using a podcast host, and they want to flip the bit to music, give them that opportunity.
Oh, okay. You're saying leave everything the same, and then just say.
Under the hood, yeah, but we need a different hood. If we go down the road of now you can do music in podcasts, it's not a good story. I don't believe that's the way to go. I think we need fresh ideas, fresh music, music players, music apps. Don't try to confuse the two. Don't make it Podcaster Wallet now also for music. Drive everyone towards the music stuff. It's the same thing on the back end. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like if we're going to do music, it has to be kind of divorced from podcast for people to understand.
There needs to be a different app.
Yeah. Well, different apps, but also a different way to claim your wallet.
Well, is
just a different music 2.0, whatever we call it, the music wallet.
Spurlock just posted. Musician's wallet.
Yeah, it's doing the same thing underneath. You know, with a split editor so that, you know, they can put their writer, composer, musicians who played, etc. You know, it'll need explaining, it'll need writing, none of which we're good at.
Speak for yourself. We're great. I'm great at it.
Your job is to build snazzy UI. That's your job.
Snazzy UI, yes. Stuff that makes you, stuff that wows the audience.
Wow factor. Yes. The UI wow factor.
Yes. There's like 140,000, Spurlock just posted, there's like 140,000 SoundCloud feeds in the index. That's a large corpus of material to
That would be pretty good. Now if we can reach out to those people, or, you know, once we need an app, someone needs to, I mean, and I think Stephen B is working on something dedicated. It can be a web app, you know, as long as we get started with something. This is what we saw. We saw podcasting 2.0 in all its glory really start to take off very early on, actually. And we had Martin from Podfriend. He gave it a try and it just didn't work. And it's very hard to build an RSS feed generator, particularly one that imports an existing feed. And Stephen B, he fucking grinded through it.
And he went through all the terrible parts and got to a finished product.
He got out the other end, and he's got some scrapes and bruises. Smells a little funky, but I think once we could create once we were eating our own dog food on this show in particular, then it really started to work. It really started to sing, and once anybody could just check out a feed and mess with it and create a pirated feed and put chapters in it and upload it to Anchor. When stuff took off. So to have just this easy conversion for SoundCloud, and then moving forward, I can see hosting companies doing this. It'll be the same path, but this is the way forward for a lot of this stuff. And I think people are just now starting to see it. We're really at the cusp. I thought we were, no, we're really at the beginning of this, of people getting it.
So the SoundCloud thing is there, do they on their side go through the process of making sure that it's not copyrighted content? And do they do all that work?
Yes. This is the beauty of it.
This is
the beauty. They police it, you know, but they also have licenses, and they have licenses. I think that where you can add stuff to your mix, your hip hop mix or your samples that you put in. And that's what's so great about it. And they already went through all the, I remember this too. They went through all the hassle of setting up the, I was interviewed, I think, for the New York Times. And I said, this is great. This is great what they're doing. And then, you know, I don't know what happened, but it was, didn't get bought, resold, refinanced. It's a shit show. But it's sitting there as this big behemoth just waiting to be tapped. 140,000 feeds, man. If all people had to do was just claim their wallet and say, yeah, music, boom. You got a pretty good base there. And musicians, they inherently understand value for value, I think.
Because on a certain level. They're used to it.
They're used to being poor. Yeah. So, yes, this is
yes. As all artists are in some way. You know.
So, and I'll just keep revisiting this because until someone, you know, so I know we have, maybe we have 30 feeds in there that have medium equals music set.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
So once that
it's
not goes
a
lot, up,
but it's a good, it's a sandbox. I mean, it's enough to work with to see things. I think there may be a chance to automate this. And I mean, to a certain extent, I don't mean going crazy with it.
No, but snip, snip, there's your get Albie floopity flop, flop.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Flippity floop floop.
Snip, and that, snip. Like, there's your Albie flippity flop flop.
that thing. Yeah, what that thing. So there's got to be a way to look at the sound file, to look at a sound file and say, okay, this is spoken word, this is music. I mean, the waveforms are completely different, right? There's got to be a way to automate that.
Yeah, but why not just do it? Just having it work is missing the point. If we don't have someone getting in there, getting into a wallet and setting that up and starting to see the beauty of plays coming in, then I think
I get you on that part. I'm just saying that, like, if somebody to take, if you can onboard a person and then they don't have to make a decision, like, you don't have to go through the process of explaining. Is this is this music? And when I say music, what I mean is it a music? Is it a show that has music as tracks instead of a show about music? You don't have to go through all that stuff. It's just like boom, 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 flip, or whatever you say.
No, I disagree. We need to turn it around. We need to put that up front. This is for music tracks.
Yeah,
That's don't ask convoluted questions. This is for music tracks.
Okay, here's a better explanation.
It's like a button you have to press after you've already asked to come in. Okay, I mean, you don't need to explain at all if you're coming from SoundCloud. Just well, in clearly, order for this I'm to work. Sorry.
Ready to die on this hill. So what?
Yeah, like, clearly.
what I'm trying to say is, could you like double check them or something and say you onboard them and you're like this music pod wallet something.com or something. You bring a person in and then it says, or podcaster wallet itself says, oh, hey, these tracks look like music. Is this a music podcast?
Oh, okay. Oh my God. Did you go to Silicon Valley on your way back from Dallas? Did you stop off at the frou-frou farm?
I understand that you're now insulting me because I insulted you by calling you Trump University. So I will accept this.
Here's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
In order for this to be successful, this needs to be divorced, not technically, not developmentally, but musician and listener wise has to be divorced even from the word podcast.
Yeah.
It's not a part of the podcast index. It is under the hood. Shh. But it's, you know, value for value wise, your music already on soundcloud.com. Oh, okay. What do I do? You get this wallet over here. Okay. And now how do I prove that this is me? And, you know, we have to see if they have owner emails. I don't know. I haven't even looked that far. And then good to go. Yes. One last step. Make sure that this is only music tracks. Yes. Click. Boom. Done. You're working. It has to be. Yeah. I think if we roll it in to podcasting and podcasting 2.0, I think it's a mistake.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I see these coming together later in my grand scheme where I can play music on my podcast and put a portion of that into my value split to pay the artist. It's going to come back together. That's the vision I see.
Yep, I agree. Adam, I've just been sitting and thinking about this on the side as you've been describing this.
Oh, I'm sorry. We had a guest. Yes.
Oh, hi there. How you doing?
Hey, John. No, it's all good. I'm sorry. I get passionate about this.
Oh, no. I love it. It's all good. I mean, there's just to paraphrase, there's two gaps. The first gap is how do you enable any musician to get a musician wallet on any hosting platform? Let's start with SoundCloud. As easy as possible. We have a shim for that. We reuse it, but we have to rename it. Yeah. And then the second one is the problem with the apps at the moment is that they're all podcasting focused. It would not be too much additional work to take an existing app that's focused on podcasts and just clone that and rebrand it and then focus it a little bit more on the features you're looking for out of a music app. One of the things, and if you do both of those things, then you close both of those gaps, and then that inspires more musicians to give it a shot. And I think that that is necessary for us. We have to solve both problems before it will really take off. But without the shim, you can't even, you'd have to say to them, you have to host on this platform using these tools. Otherwise, it's the only way to get a wallet. Right. So yeah, absolutely agree.
It may go further than that though, John. It may go to the point of, I'm not sure that this even is, you almost have to, you have to have the app first.
Yeah.
This music app has to exist first.
You're really absolutely right. And which is why I say we have, you know, Stephen B. and CurioCaster, and I think he's working on something, but let's retrace our steps. What was the first app that came online? Well, we had, what was the first one that came online, Dave? Was it
PodFriend?
PodFriend, I'm thinking.
Value Tag?
Sphinx, of course, was the first one.
Sphinx. Yes.
That's so right. We had an existing system, which, well, there's an excellent example of something that should have worked, had all the elements, but it was never branded as such. It was, well, this is something else. This is not a podcast player.
App.
Yeah,
it was a chat app.
Yeah,
weird,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why it was hard to make that. It had all the right, I mean, you could have rejiggered that thing and put everything upside down and made it a podcast app. And I think it would, forget about the issues of how they manage channels, and it wasn't really set up to do this with micropayments. But you're absolutely right. Someone has to really hunker down and get something that is compelling, but also, I mean, that's a, I see these like a Winamp, you know, they still develop that thing.
Yeah.
There's great install base in lots of older software that can just completely come back to life. Does that make, I didn't mean to insult you, Dave. I'm sorry. I had to make it clear that it's weird because where are we going to talk about it here? Who's going to be working on it? Same people.
No, if I'm talking like a Silicon Valley douche, it's all with it's well. You're well within your rights to call me call me to the floor for that. I fully expect. I would think less of you if you did not. But I think that the app. This is a big ask because the apps.
It's a huge.
Somebody has to write a podcast music app, and so like I think you could do it. You could get a head start on it because there's already open source code. The part of the other side, and this sort of gets back to John, to you as well, is part of the beauty of podcasting 2.0 as a project is that it has spawned so much open source code. And so Podverse is completely open source.
There you go.
What is the Anytime podcast player is completely open source. That's what
is that your dog or mine?
Flutter.
Is that your dog?
Oh, that's mine.
It's your dog? Okay.
That's Banjo, yeah. The Anytime player is also completely open source. It's based on Flutter, and so that's what Breeze used to pull in. There's a lot of code out there that could be taken and repurposed into a podcasting music app.
And I'd say that the choice you'd want to make early on is, do you just want to make a kick-ass app that understands what to do? Or do you want to also do the onboarding part? And I would personally recommend not to do the onboarding part just yet. But I can't speak on your behalf, Dave, but I think that we could certainly fork off the podcaster wallet into something that then also sets the music, the medium tag to music that could be ready to onboard. And we can test it. I mean, you know, we get a SoundCloud account. If we can test it, if it works, then, you know, we'll do our job and hopefully someone else will jump in or find somebody or upgrade an older player. There's gotta be stuff out there that can do this.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we're never going to write an app or anything like that. It's just not, anything we're ever going to do. So we need somebody else to do it. We're going to do indexy stuff and ideas and specs and stuff like that. But we need somebody else to do this.
Oh yeah, definitely. So my grand vision, and it really comes into view, is if we have that part, if we have musicians understanding value for value 2.0 feeds, what we're missing in the music industry today is what the radio industry got for free. You know, radio doesn't have, yes, they pay ASCAP BMI, blanket license, you know, it's a portion of their revenue. That's all they pay. They don't have to pay artists, they don't have to pay record companies. It's only the performing rights organization. And that's how music is brought to the forefront. It's promoted by people who are either part of like a top 40 format, and you're playing what's popular anyway, or you have your college radio, you know, kind of experimental, alternative. These are all things that used to live within our culture, and that with Spotify and really with file sharing, that role went away, and that has now been picked up by two companies, but the main one is TikTok. And all they do is I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure they make deals to promote certain things over and over again. But you just go ahead and look, every single, even, you know, like Diana Ross has to have a TikTok these days. The record companies demand it. So we can bring that back and say, hey, and we can put these mechanisms to some degree into verifiable stuff. Like I played your song on my show. So anybody who either listens to the whole show or maybe just that segment of time, which I could map to your value block. I mean, these types of things will become really possible. And then we can really promote music again. Music podcasts are non-existent for this simple licensing reason, which we, I think, will be able to solve with some of this.
And I can tell you, I had an experience the other day. We were in a sandwich shop me and my family went Monday night to a little sandwich shop down the street and ate, and they were playing. We're the only ones there. They were playing some music, and I was talking to, I was telling Melissa, my wife, I was like, you know, oh, this is your jam. You know, this is a band she liked. And then it hit me all of a sudden. I'm like, oh man, I hope they're paying their license. I hope they're paying an ASCAP license. Cause at least two other restaurants around town recently within the past year, I've gotten hit hard.
Yeah.
For playing it over the PA. And I'm like, man, what? And it just made me so aggravated. I'm like, wow, this sucks, man. The state of things sucks. And if there was
I'm going to make you happy. I'm going to make you real happy.
Sweet.
Okay. So instead of, you know, looking at your file, oh, I think you meant music. So we will get to a point where people are streaming value for value music in their bar, and people will be able to sit there and go, hey, I really like this song. Your phone will be able to identify what song it is, and then you can boost them right away.
That's Silicon Valley. Cool. You said I went through Silicon Valley.
I'm trying to see. John went cool. He didn't say cool about your shit, man. He went cool. Yeah, of course, because I'm a dreamer.
It would be very cool.
Why it not? But think of now. Can we talk about the stats package we saw that someone showed us, Dave? Are we allowed to talk about that?
I get.
I'm sorry, man. Are we under NDA? Anyway, we saw a value for value statistics package, which showed a timeline. It showed how many people, you know, what was listening, where it dropped off, boost with boostograms, the whole exactly what you'd want to see. I mean, now just imagine if you shift some of these ideas and you've got that timeline and you can see what song was popular because, you know, there was more boostogram or boost activity during that. I mean, it's mind-boggling what we can do. But we have to bring the music in. And if you think podcasters are tedious and they don't get shit, try musicians.
Yeah, I can only imagine. here's the thing I still have yet to understand is, do any actual human beings work at SoundCloud? Because they
probably not. Very few.
I think it may just be on autopilot at this point. I think there may be like four. Yeah, AI. Yeah, it's AI. It's like two. It's like probably. Two guys.
Yeah, it's very possible.
And
there's a big accounting office, I'll tell you that.
It's all accountants. There's nobody in tech anymore. And they don't know that they're not there. They just left. And all the accountants think that the IT guys are still there, but there's nobody there.
They're just little simulators on their mouse and keyboards that makes it look like they're still alive.
Yeah. It's like the, you know, wiggle the mouse every now and then. I'm 100%. I'm 100% on this.
SoundCloud has evolved from a traditional online streaming platform to an entertainment company with premium offerings, including advanced audience insights, playlist pitching tools, and promotional marketing resources for its users. SoundCloud was the first streaming service to adopt and implement a user-centric payment model for artists called fan-powered royalties.
No, I like fan power.
Fan power. Fan power!
Hey, wait a second.
I know. I'm bad.
But this article does say that they hope to be profitable in 2023.
Yeah, good luck. So they got a Series A, was 2.5 million euros. And then somewhere down here, SoundCloud announced in January 2014 it had commenced licensing negotiations with major music companies to address the matter of unauthorized copyrighted material regularly appearing on the platform. The announcement followed a round of funding in which $60 million was raised, resulting in a $700 million valuation. So they're not even a unicorn, you suckers. Let me see.
No.
2017, SoundCloud announced layoffs. Wah, wah, wah. It had to reach a $170 million agreement for some bullcrap. Let's see where they are now. 2021, they announced a new pay model. Oh, that is the fan-powered royalties. Let me see.
I think a couple of months ago they announced, or maybe last month they announced layoffs.
Oh, no doubt.
Well, that's when the rest of the IT people left.
Canadian electronic music producer Vincent's earnings jumped to $600 a month, up from $120 a month under the pooled revenue model. Hey, that's a ripoff. That whole thing sucks. You can do better with value for value than $120 a month.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness.
For sure.
And you know, and they've I mean, we don't have to worry about anything. Everything else is, it's all set. So I think we should just figure out how to entice people. You know what? Once it's up and running, we go into this Wikipedia and we just edit this Wikipedia. Trust me, it works.
Well, there's
just put in there podcasting 2.0 music.
Well,
sound, music 2.0.
So John, I can imagine Soundbiter.
Yeah.
For music. I mean, like, you know, that whole idea where you've got your catalog there.
There you go.
And you let your fans create sound bites and give them splits.
There you go.
For snippets of music that you can use for discovery.
Totally. Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Well, we've solved all problems of the world, gentlemen. This is great. Yeah. So proud of us.
I just want to add one more thing, Adam, to the idea of making sure it's a music-focused app. Because I was thinking as you're talking about what, and I don't want to hold Apple up necessarily as the this is what we should all do kind of thing, but cast your mind back to when everything was in iTunes. And if you wanted to do music podcasts, you know, file transfers, absolutely everything was in iTunes. And then they split it out to a music app and a podcast app, and they separated them all out. And the research suggested that people, when they want to go and do something, they want to go to the app that is specifically tailored for that.
Yes.
Because listening to music is just subtly different from listening to an audiobook, which is also subtly different from a podcast. Like, and I was thinking speed skipping, for example, you don't want to do that in music. That's a function that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, so
exactly.
It absolutely needs to be tailored, I think, for sure.
Oh, no, totally. And you know, there's things that need to be worked on, such as, you know, chapters. That's now, of course, covers, and it can be include lyrics, captions or transcripts. You know, we need I don't know how these services do with getting lyrics, but you need to be able to simply throw your lyrics in somewhere and synchronize it with the song. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that could be worked on, but everything is there.
Yeah.
The namespace, the medium tag is what really did it as genius. That is the thing. And we've got all the infrastructure set up. Everything is good to go. And man, can we have a lot of fun once we figure this out?
Well, you take this, Alex foresaw this problem a long time ago.
Genius.
And solved this with For No Agenda Tube, and saw that this was also going to be a music issue, because we can, you know, 2 years from now or a year from now or whenever this happens, we can just take this exact discussion and rehash it for audiobooks and just do because it's going to be the same thing.
Yep.
It's going to be, you know, audio
movies, documentaries, books, you know, we'll need PDF readers, e-readers, whatever. Totally. It works so well. Now, what I'm unsure of is how the ask will work in music, you know, how you reward people. But I think that's where that's where groovy little widgets like leaderboards and superfan posters, and that's where boostergrams, making them public, may make sense. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that has to be experimented with. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Is if you're not getting any sats, you're doing it the wrong way. That I do know.
Well, so play Buzzcast clip one.
I think when people are voting with their wallets, we can see different types of shows come up to the top because all you really need is a small audience that really loves your content rather than a really large audience that is just like, hey, being informed about the news is worth 20 minutes of my day. One of the things I always keep coming back to is if we want to avoid some of the negative things that happened with the rest of the internet, like everything was sucked into, like the monetization strategy for everything was ads. YouTube is ads. News is ads. Everything that we do is ads. We're trying to keep us on platform all the time and give up tons of attention so they can sell little pieces of it to an advertiser. And we've just seen so many ways that that goes wrong. But if we want a different world, we have to pay for a different world. And we actually have to vote for that different world. I know my three favorite podcasts, I pay for them.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, I think that applies as well.
Sure.
To music, because we're going to, you know, the idea here, actually, we can go.
Well, if I can just say one thing.
Yeah, sure.
What I love about the music idea is that I know in my heart I will set a rate that makes the 3-minute song worthwhile for the person who gave it to me.
Yep, that's exactly where I was going.
That's yep. where it gets beautiful. I mean, I stream typically 200 sats a minute to any podcast I listen to, and which I think is a good number. I mean, if that's my time, like, yeah, I'm listening to this, and it adds up at the end. You listen to an hour. What is that? What is that?
200 sats a minute, 200 times 60. You're the engineer. Well, we have an engineer in the boardroom. So,
yeah. Can you do the math for us there?
You should add up all the zeros and add.
I need a calculator. I'm not an accountant.
Is it 12,000? is it 12,000 sats? Am I saying it right?
120,000, right?
Is it 120,000?
For an hour to us, would you say 200 times 60? No, yeah. That's 12,000.
12,000.
12,000.
Yeah. I got my calculator. I'm
so
good.
So that's what? So what
the
is that?
TI-82.
So how much is that in fiat fund coupons?
12,000. That's about as
$2.
A little over $1.
It's $1.
Buck and a half, I think.
I need to up that a bit. But for music, like all day long, you know, it's like and I would even want to set it. Hey, if something comes through on a playlist and it's from this artist or this band, automatic up the sats.
Okay, see that's the part that we don't get yet because, that's not the right way to say that, but. What I mean is, like, there's going to be experiences of ways to pay and ways to do these things that we can't envision.
Of course.
And so we're talking. So you brought up about the pitch and how the mm-hmm. V4V feedback loop
very
would work
different for music. Very different.
Very different. Yeah. Very different. But it'll evolve. It'll happen.
And here's where the lit comes in. You know, it will be appropriate for some artists or bands or some performers to use the lit tag to go live, to maybe use that as fundraising or use that as a weekly here's what I'm doing or progress report or whatever with live boostergrams. I mean, this is it's a lifestyle. It's the new international lifestyle of value for value, and we're living it, and everyone's going to start to realize it's a pretty good way to do it. Because you can't be Jay-Z and Beyonce anymore. You can't be Joe Rogan. You can't be Meghan Markle. But you don't need to be. You don't need to be number one. The charts are ridiculous. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. And if you're able to get 1,000 people who will only use this one particular app, then you're golden. You know what I mean? It's like you need to be able to survive. I think I told you right away, Dave, this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be the best work we've ever done. We're not going to make any money off this. We certainly won't be millionaires, let alone billionaires. If anyone is a billionaire out of this, then we did something very wrong. And that's the whole point. It's value for value.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the streaming per minute thing, that's really, we get caught up in the boosts and they're fun, but I think the streaming per minute thing is really where the rubber meets the road for some of these other things, like maybe audiobooks or music. In podcasting, it works because there's a real fast feedback loop.
Yeah.
Especially if you have like a weekly show or something like that.
Yeah.
But on music, the per minute, that's going to be a lot of meat there. Cause you can really set, you can say, okay, I'm going to budget this much, actually play a Buzzcast, clip three,
but the value for value model gives you the option to either stream sats while you're listening, like so many per minute, or you can just boost. And so the nice thing about that is every month you could just deposit like $20 into your, you know, podcaster wallet, and then you could boost it out as you're listening to episodes. And when you're out of money, you're out of money for the month. Like, smart. I'm not going to refill this wallet until next month because mm-hmm. I'm a disciplined podcast listener.
Hey, who was this speaking?
That was Kevin.
Kevin.
Over at Bus Bradley.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, I want to kiss you on the lips, man.
that per minute, that's a great, it's not very, it's not very talked about, I guess, is the per minute side of podcasting, because the boosts take the limelight. But that per minute side on a music app, if I were to be like, okay, I'm gonna take that $10 a month that I spend on Spotify or 15 or whatever, and I'm gonna put $15, into the podcast music side of things, then it's just always streaming. And if everybody, if that becomes the lifestyle, then that's real money. That's absolutely real money.
And I also see, you know, like Merkle tree type stuff where if I turn someone onto a band, I can get some reward for that. I mean, I know we can go deep on this stuff. I know it. It's actually probably what they wanted Ping to be. Remember Apple's social network Ping? I mean, I think these things are possible. I just get really jazzed by the idea. And there's so much this. You think there was pent up energy for podcasting? Wait until you see what the musicians are ready to do. And they understand kind of being, you know, they understand asking for sure. But then once we have that flying, man, we can integrate it. Ah, look out. Look out.
What's your, John, what is your split with it when it comes to like boosts versus streaming sats? I'm imagining that your streaming is probably higher, but that's just a guess.
No, actually I tend to do it the other way around. I tend to do a lower average streaming, but then I boost when I used to boost at strategic moments, though I should say, you know, like, oh yeah, that's awesome. And I didn't generally send boostergrams because when you're in the moment, you just want to boost. You don't want to sit there and compose something.
But I was actually talking about your income, like your income as a podcast. The other way around.
I'm sorry.
I always boost when I'm in the moment too.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, okay, so sorry, the other way around.
Boost!
Okay,
do you have stats on that?
Not in front of me, no. I have Helipad up and I should probably download a CSV and have a look for you, but I tend to get, I will get regular boosts, oddly every week, I'm not sure. Anyway, Dave, but I do get just background streaming. And the thing is, you can tell which app it comes from based on how it's grouped together, because different apps will give you a different, because they don't all stream you know, at exactly the same per minute. They'll bundle it up and then send it in one hit in a transaction. So,
like, batch it. Yes.
I don't know if that answered the question.
The having an umbrella at home and watching value for value come in, and then realizing that you're getting more satoshis per month than from your two S9 mining machines says a lot.
Wow. Yeah.
That says a lot.
That'd be cool.
It's true.
Yeah.
Shall we thank a few people, because we're just rambling on here? And
sure. You want to read some?
Yeah, I'd like to read some of these that came in. Some of the boostergrams from our lit. We got everyone there in the chat room.
Okay.
My goodness, it's a lot that came in. 100,100 satoshis from Kyron, Mere Mortals podcast. I've been blessed, a special number episode, and at a time I can join. I was actually explaining P2O at a crypto meetup recently, and people really got it when I related how splits could be used for musicians. An app to show them at the same time would be amazing.
Nice.
That's right. There's Mary Oscar blowing 100 at us. 17,776 from Boobery. Hella Boost CLI pilled, man. Okay, that is from the Boost CLI. Billy Bones comes in with 2333s, and he says, thank you all for creating podcasting 2.0. We need to thank everybody, including you, Billy Bones. C Dubs 1010, Boost CLI supports Nano, VI, Max, Emax, or whatever you have set as default. Yes, I will have to try the Boost CLI with Emax. Source D, Vim for life. Okay, now we're getting into the jihad. Eric P. P at 100,100 sats. Happy 100 show. Thank you very much. Paytar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1,000,000 satoshis.
Paula! Shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Happy 100th. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Wow.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. C Brooklyn, 3333. Then we have Mike Newman. And Mike comes in with 133,333. He says, I hear John Chigi is in the lobby.
he is.
Yeah, I think he knocked over a trash can or something. People got more cautious. His causality show is great, and it makes sense. He guessed on episode 100. Great use of 2.0. Cheers, John. One of my goals is to implement as many tags as I can in my little jalopy of a podcast, The Mike Newman Show. That's MikeNewman.show, MikeNewman.show. I've enjoyed testing all sorts of tech this year alone and meeting so many of the PC2O crew in Dallas last week. This yeah, thing
that,
is
it was, that was great seeing. It's great seeing Mike in the in Dallas.
That's always what a conference is great for. Yeah. This thing is thanks, just Mike. Getting started. Thanks to y'all. I like this ship, says Mike. Boobery.
Thanks, Mike.
100,000 Satoshis. Air horn. One of the first things I asked myself beginning 2020 was, what the hell is an RSS feed? It's a
well, you it, now know.
Yeah, yes. You do. It's been a sick ride. Thank you both and everyone for the deep well of knowledge. Pew, pew, mofos. Where's my pew? There we go. Pew, pew, mofos. And then he has a... Oh, he has an URL here with an MP3 file. Well,
oh, Lord.
Yeah, well, I mean, we might as well.
Do it.
Might as well. Yeah, come on, man. Do it. Of course I'll do it. What was that? Oh, here. It was. Here. Hold on.
Was that Dame Jennifer?
Hold on.
Pew.
Oh, I think that was Dame Jennifer. Okay, man, that was highly inappropriate, Boobery. Thanks. 1,000 from Chad F. Stephen B. 222,222.
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blaze! Only Impala!
Stephen B. from Kiracaster says, happy second birthday. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
1,000 sats again from Boobery. C-dubs with 2133. A boob from Source D. Yeah, 8008. We gotcha. Then we did this one. Sup. Yes. Time for the chimp and the 305. That is 100,001 sats. We have the R podcast listening live during my kids' taekwondo practice on Podverse. Okay. 8675 sats. Thank you. For the upcoming hackathon, I'd be eager to lend my data science visualization skills. Congratulations, episode 100. And my son Darren says, go podcasting.
Go podcasting! Dodge the feet in the hands.
Yeah. Then of course we got the 1,001,001 sats from Dreb Scott. Another 33,333 from Carolyn. Lyceum 100,100. Congrats to your milestone 100 episodes. I am all for the boost drive. That's what they called it. They call it the boost drive. They were driving the boost like a cattle drive of boosts playing up into our ranch.
We had nothing to do with this.
This is of course not. This is why it works so well. We had nothing to do with it. Thanks for your work and for introducing me to the value for value model. Thanks for participating in it. Best premises. Oh, this is Martin Lindeskog. There you go. Former second place fountain leaderboard for Baller Boost with Rand's Day number of 221,905 Satoshis. I will try again this month. Game on. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
And then there's another Mike Newman, 100,033 sats. Castomatic boost, rolling the dice to see if it gets through. Go podcasting, sure did. He sent another one. and he sent one from Castomatic, one from Fountain, also 100,033.
God almighty.
Go podcasting!
And there he is with 300,033 sats. Hello, Mike Newman. Simply stated, the goal here is to boost you all 1,000,000 sats in a few days. Now less than an hour. This is about 2 hours ago. Before the 100th episode, completely abusing channels near and far, using as many apps and services as I can to demonstrate a small but essential part of what y'all have accomplished here since episode one. Amazing. Thank you for preserving, protecting, and extending podcasting for years to come. Mike, thank you, man. That is so kind of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. I think I got just about everybody there in the Lit Boost club. Thank you all so much. That's
incredible.
I mean, normally, you know, what Dvorak and I would do is we'd pick numbers, right? It's like, what do you have a number? Well, because people showed us the way. Hey, it's Pi Day, 314. Hey, it's April 20th, 420. Hey, it's your birthday, 58. We don't have to think. This came organically, and that means it's really working.
Yeah, it's kind of humbling.
And also, it just means that people love us.
Yeah, everyone loves you guys. Yeah.
No, I feel loved. Really do feel loved. very much so.
I wonder about the different ways of connecting. Like we were talking earlier about, you know, music has sort of, it gets its own thing and it needs its own app. And then something came up this week on Podcast Index Social about being able to present a request to the user so that when they follow the pilot, like I think the way it was explained is if somebody follows a podcast and that podcaster also has something like a newsletter, there could be some sort of tag or something in there that would say in the feed that would say, okay, I also offer this newsletter. And then the app could show that to the listener where they could say, where they could subscribe to the newsletter, like right in the app.
Sure. That sounds like something useful.
Yeah. I think the, you know, David Norman from HyperCatcher explored some of this in the HyperCatcher app very early on.
Yeah. I remember
had this marriage between podcasting and newsletters. And I wonder how well that we could codify that.
Here's the only issue. What, yeah, maybe not. It's just newsletters. I love newsletters, but man, pretty much the only thing I would even touch these days would be Substack. Everything else seems tainted, crap, and no good. And I'm sure problems will come everywhere. It's just, you know, that's just, we don't really have, I'm not familiar with all the external resources for newsletters.
I'm not sure. I don't know either.
It sucks so bad the way things, you know, don't arrive or filtered away or put into promotions tabs. And it's just, it's a real nightmare to manage.
And everybody wants to own your inbox. You don't do any kind of newsletters or anything, do you, John?
Oh, I actually do. But my newsletters are, yeah. What I did is, I created a special RSS feed that combines podcast episodes as well as blog posts on the Engineered Network. So if there's anything that's new that's happened in the last week, it automatically sends out to a mailing list using MailChimp. But some people do actually subscribe to it. And when I was watching, because I followed that exact thread that you're talking about, and it's like, to me, it's like, well, how deep do you want to go? Or how tight do you want to make that integration? Right. Yeah, because like right now we have, I think, funding, and the funding, when you tap on that in most apps, it'll just take you to the website, and it's like, oh, here's how you can support. It's like a shortcut to that, as opposed, you know, we could just do the same thing with the newsletter, because the only way people know I've got a newsletter is to go to the website. I don't even pimp it on the shows because, well, maybe that's my bad. I probably should, but, you know, irrespective, it's like they've got to go to the site, have a look, newsletter. Oh, look, I can sign up for a newsletter. And it's like, how many people are going to take time out to do that? And this shortcut might make a difference. Maybe it doesn't have to be baked completely into the app. You can jump out just like we do. Yeah. Why not?
I would rather focus our effort and energy on implementing XMPP with a bridge to IRC to get chat working or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that needs to be probably next up on the list. There's always, you know, what makes things complicated is there's always sort of two things going on. There's one that's code heavy and one that's spec heavy.
Right.
And technical. And then there's like, evangelism that's going on.
Yeah.
So there's like, you know, the music stuff, that's really more evangelism than code.
Yes.
And
correct.
Then, you know, the XMPP stuff and the chat stuff, that really is more code than anything else. I do like, so John, you don't have any live, you don't do anything live, right?
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Mid 2014 with Pragmatic, I actually did 5 or 6 episodes live. I was streaming them using Icecast, stitched a bit together using Liquid Soap. And, I used to update the website with a live flag, that scraped the status, XSL file from Icecast. And I had a chat room in IRC, you know, much like ATP do it, the relay guys, you know, 5x5 and a lot of them, you know, do that. So it's sort of like, yeah, it's a thing I used to do, but I got oddly more complaints than I got compliments, because people would say, oh, why can't you do it at this time? I can't possibly make it at that time, sort of thing. And when I had like probably 2/3 of my audience in the United States, I tried a few getting up at ridiculous hours of the morning to try and suit and satisfy the North American audience. And even then, people would then complain from Europe and say, oh, well, you know, that's a really dodgy time. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So the joy of live is that there are many time zones and we live on a ball and I can't please everybody. Yes. So yeah, more people were annoyed that I couldn't do it at their preferred time, and the audience level and feedback and engagement just wasn't there. So I stopped doing it, and no one seemed to care that I stopped. So that's where it ended.
Well, okay. So you did an Icecast server. Yeah. This is what I'm trying to get at. So there's a couple of breakthroughs that need to happen here. There's the ability for people to do live streams. When I say people, I mean hosting companies need a way forward for live streams. And we talked about it a lot in Dallas last week, with people and just trying to brainstorm things. My idea is maybe wacky or too much. My idea was if you're a hosting company, you spin up an Icecast server in a Docker container or something whenever you need it, dynamically assign it a DNS name, and then for the life of that live broadcast, that thing is running, and then you spin it, and then you destroy it when it's finished.
It's like a dashboard on Voltage.
Exactly the same. Exactly the same idea.
I like that.
There may be much better ways to do it, and this is why I bring it up, because I want to hear where I'm going overkill on this. But I could see that if you had if you're a large host and you had like 10 of these things running, they're probably not costing. If they're sitting there doing nothing, they're probably not costing you anything. It's just a container. Especially if you're Kubernetes or something like that. The cost is minimal until you start the bandwidth going. And then I was thinking of it just like an Apache server, like you have mm-hmm. minimum spares that are running, and then you just spin up a few more whenever those begin to get used and you kill them. I'm trying to think of a way. But so then on the backside, let's say that you have that model. Then on the backside, you got to have a way for the podcaster to connect and take and start sending to the stream. And so then there would have to be some sort of, you display back to them the connection string or the URL that they need to connect to. Is that how you do it currently, Adam? When you take over the stream, do you just connect to a endpoint and go?
So I have the luxury that the No Agenda stream is up 24/7. It's Icecast server. I have God power, so the minute I hit connect, it's like whoever's there is just sad.
What is the connect doing when you say connect?
I'm sorry. I use RadioCaster, small app. All you do is just have you have the one endpoint, you got a password. You fill that in, you put your bit rate, you do all that once. And then from then on out, it's just click, you're on, click, you're off. But it is a separate app that I use.
Okay. And that just hooks into your rig.
It just hooks into the output of my, anyone who streams kind of knows this stuff.
And I'm thinking about people who don't stream, who are not used to it.
Yeah.
Like how.
Yeah. We need to kill them. I just need to kill them. Get rid of them. If you don't stream, you don't dream. Okay. Get out of my face.
Yes. It would be nice to have some sort of guide or something that said, the hosting company would want to do this, if they're going to support this feature. But for those who want to get their feet wet, with it earlier than waiting for host implementation, it would be nice to have some sort of concise guide that could say, okay, here's how you could go live, quickly or whatever, for fun.
It's so specialized. I don't think there's a lot of podcasts that go live with audio only. There's just not a lot. What most people will be very comfortable with is StreamYard or OBS and connecting that to some, everyone kind of knows, oh, I need this kind of data. I put it in here and send it. It would be easier to use something like that and just take the audio. That way, also, if it's multiple people, they can still use the video to communicate with each other. I think the tools are out there. I think they're usable. But I don't know if this is something the hosting company should solve. I'm not sure that the lit tag is a big deal for everybody. I think it's a huge deal for a very small subsection who will be able to use it effectively. And I think I think those are valuable content creators who know how to use it and will use it. But I just don't see it as a big mainstream thing. But it's important. I want it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, you know, brought up the chat. And the chat really is only, it's kind of only the it's not only live.
No.
I guess it could be
no,
other things.
Too, I mean, the room is open. You know, people are in there all the time. Like an IRC chat, I mean, trollroom.io or, you know, noagendastream.com is open all the time. The community lives there of trolls, but they do live there under bridges and stinky garbage heaps.
So I guess I would love XMPP. That seems like the way to go for a built-in chat in the app. It's more modern.
Seems easier to get going than comments.
Yeah. Because it's synchronous.
Yes, and we are, and of course I didn't come up with this myself. I got this from Alex Gates. He said XMPP with a bridge to IRC. I said, I heard chef, I'm on it.
Okay. Can you put that in, like, is that something that can be hooked to the No Agenda?
Yes. Oh yeah. The IRC and XMPP work very well together.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's all kinds of existing stuff.
I feel like I did a lot of XMPP programming years ago, but I know nothing about IRC. I feel like I just don't know anything about the way it works.
Well, luckily we have some very skilled people in our group.
Yeah.
There's people doing, so, I mean, when you're at the bot level, I'm sure you can help us with XMPP bridge to IRC.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Because I would love to build some sandboxes and stuff around that to try it out. Because I still got MKUltra that's sitting there that needs.
There's another thing that, you know, we just need to shut everything down. You just got to work through your list.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's thank some more people, Dave. We're running on $1.45 here. So let's.
All right. Let's see. We got some.
Yeah, I don't mind doing the show late for our guest in Australia, but, you know, just because we ruined his breakfast doesn't mean he gets to ruin our dinner.
Oh, okay.
You got time, John? You can hang out with us some more?
I am making time for you guys. It's not a problem.
Oh, good.
Let's keep rolling.
You know, also, you have an amazing set of pipes.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you sound
very
nice. You really, really sound good. You know, because Australians can have a certain, I mean, I'm just saying this, like, you have all kinds of opinions about American accents. But yours, with the voice, it has something really comfortable. It's really nice to listen to.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Adam. It actually means a lot coming in from you, especially. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean it.
We got Fountain. Oscar and Nick over there at Fountain sent us $200.
Whoa-ho. I think we get to ball them.
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
Just everybody's just so generous today.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Oscar. And I've got a bug I need to squash for Oscar. And actually, not squash. I've got to
introduce.
Investigate. Investigate. Let's see. Stephen Crater sent us $100 and he says, for episode 100.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
Stephen, I really appreciate you, man. I really do. He is one of those people that jumps in there and just does things that need doing. Like, you know, he's a person that just sees that, that something needs to be done, like this bucket of, you know, mop water needs to be refilled, or the sort of the dirty jobs that are just like time consuming. He just jumps in there and does them, and I really appreciate that. So more than I can say.
Could you give us an example, so we all know?
Documentation.
Yeah, that's the number one.
When I roll up a new endpoint or something, he documents it, and when he goes in there to document it, if he sees bugs.
Yeah.
Or misspellings or something, he's like, hey, this is messed up.
Yeah.
And I go fix it. Or somebody says, hey, what's the GUID for my podcast? And he jumps in there and posts it before before I do. I'm like,
cool.
It's just, it just takes stuff off my plate all the time. And I'm so appreciative of it.
One time for the one time.
Fire 100. $58 from Prim Lee Barbosa. Prim Lee Barbosa, $58. No note. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Prim Lee. We got some boostergrams. Let's see here. Right.
Boost!
We got...
Oh, by the way, I would like to say to James Cridland, you've begged for it enough times. I've put the Big Baller jingle into our show notes for today's episode so someone can go put that into the repository. I just want you to know it wasn't necessarily an open source thing. It was originated in the MoFax with Adam Curry podcast, then slowly stolen / adopted by the No Agenda podcast. Then it moved to Podcasting 2.0, and now we set it free.
It's been released
into the wilds, back to the elements from which it came.
We have a good ISO, speaking of James Cridland, if you want to drop that one in there.
Okay.
Please, Apple, come and talk to us. Please, Apple.
Oh, that's genius. That is not just an ISO. That's end of show ISO, baby.
Good I love that. I reached the top of the mountain.
The pinnacle has been achieved.
Chad Farrow, 3333. No note. Thank you. Let's see. Auburn Citadel, 49,490.
Ooh.
He says, boost me JCD style.
You got it.
Boost.
Yeah.
8888 from Chris Lass. That's Chris from Jupiter Broadcasting. He says, thanks for going to Podcast Movement so we don't have to.
You dodged the bullet. Although it was really nice hanging out with everybody. That was the main thing. And once we'd hung out with everybody, it was time to leave.
Very true words, yes. Regarding your live chat discussion, we do most of our shows live, and based on listener demand, we're moving our live chat to Matrix. So far, it's working out great. IRC can be bridged into Matrix in many cases. Might be possible to have the best of both worlds.
Can we bridge XMPP to IRC back to Matrix? Hey, now.
Can and should.
Two different things. Yes, I got you.
Two different things.
I got you.
The only thing that that concerns me about Matrix is I've heard that the back end is very heavy. And I would like to hear input on that.
Well, we're going to have a standoff because the Alex Gates, the official Podcasting 2.0 consultant, not to be confused with a value for value coach, the 2.0 consultant, he's pushing very heavily for XMPP, and I believe Roy over at Breeze would be pushing very hard for Matrix. So if we can make those two meet somewhere in the middle and connect them, that's all good.
In the middle, that would be like middle of the Atlantic,
yeah,
somewhere.
So I'm not quite sure how we handle
Greenland.
Maybe there's no conflict at all. Maybe it all fits perfectly together.
Okay, you guys meet in Greenland and fight, and whoever wins will do that.
That's right.
See, 1773 sats from Mike Dell. Says, Dallas boost from Rune
1773.
Boost! Nice.
Thanks. 12-3... Go ahead. Keep going.
12-3-45 from Hard... 1-2-3-4-5 from Harv Hat. No note.
Thank you, Harv Hat. Very nice.
Boost.
Roy Scheinfeld.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, there he is. He's for episode 99. Excuse me. This was a mess up on my part. He boosted last week and this week, and I missed both of them. And then I figured out this afternoon that it was, and because I messaged you and I was like, I can't find Roy's boost. It's driving me nuts. It's concerning me. And
we were combing. How sad are we? We're combing through helipad and through. I was looking
CSVs.
At CSVs. Like I know he's in here somewhere.
Show yourself, Roy. Show yourself. But he had boosted two boosts 2 weeks in a row with no note. and I had my script was filtering out things with no notes.
Yeah,
for reading on the show.
That's the epitome of lazy. Is given a big boost, and I'm going to give 54,321 sats. But I'm in my silk robe. I got my floppy slippers on. It's so tiring to type a note.
I messaged him. I said, all right, good, all good. I found him. Here's the bug, and fixed. We're all good.
It's like, do you send your Roy? Would you send your wife a card with just a card with no writing on it? I feel a relationship was better than that.
It's a box of chocolates that's just wrappers and no actual chocolate inside. So he essentially debugged my code from 3,000 miles away, which was
installation. Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. So nice. That's good. Next time I'm just going to print all the code out and mail it to John and Roy and have them decode it from their respective locations.
Okay.
1111. George Orwell, and Orwell, and he just says boost.
Yo, thanks, George Orwell. Big supporter, big channel opener to everybody. Appreciate it.
Big Row of Sticks, 11111 from Mere Mortals podcast. And he says, I think the biggest problem with V4V is that it takes a while to get going. In the latest V4V podcast episode, I talked about how Podland required a while until new people joined in on the boosting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the rush of the highest impact, dopamine jacking, heart racing extravaganza of a message with monetary value attached is worth it.
I concur. I completely agree. Absolutely.
RDK519 sent us 1,010 sats. And he says, Adam and Dave, thanks for all you're doing with Podcasting 2.0. Our shows aren't yet in the 2.0 universe, but we're working to get them there as quickly as possible. Keep up the good work. Rob Kirkpatrick.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Rob. Gene Everett sent us 1,001 sats, and he says, cheers. Well, cheers to you.
Cheers back at you.
Chris sent us 3,570 sats. No note. Sir Doug sent us 10,000 sats, and he says, value for value boost.
Yo.
Boost!
Love that.
Let me shut my dog up.
I'm missing the twos. Where's the ducks today?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see.
I don't see. No, I haven't heard any ducks. A little concerned about the ducks.
All right, let's see.
Is your dog okay?
He is. I had to mute myself and yell at him.
Oh.
I don't know if it's going to help or not.
He wasn't barking at any ducks, was he?
No. He sees the chickens outside, and he really wants chicken tonight.
Like right now, pronto. Like,
yes, I want immediately.
Chicken. Yeah, chicken.
1234 from SLC. I can't view boosts, only this show. No problems on NA.
Yes. We have comments. It's in Fountain. We requested no comment boosts on our podcast. Right. So I could have an AB. Not this show, but next show. This also was part of Tanner's problem. The comments do present opportunities and they present issues, but that's for another show.
Yeah. Sir Pete, 21,500 sats through Castomatic. He says, the talk about making features appealing or making them better known on its own is kind of weird. I think the total experience of listening to a podcast is key. When podcasters say in their podcast, quote, check out the image in your app to see what I mean, or skip to the next chapter to get the results.
Yeah.
Those two calls will pull people to both use and ask for the new features. Also awaken the call for support of new features.
Completely agree. Good one, man.
That's the boost. Other part that I'd written in my notes earlier is that part of the value for value is the podcaster has to use his or her voice in the podcast to talk to the listener. Mm-hmm. That you have to use your podcast. The content of your podcast is the way that you do it. You don't just flip a switch. It's not technology. All the technology in the world can be there, but if you don't engage your audience in that way, that it doesn't, it's useless. Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, AKA Sean McCune, 50,000 sats. He says, boosting while listening to last episode's boosts.
Oh, nice. Boost. Thank you. Nice.
It's a boost boost.
Boosty, boosty, boost, boost.
Timmy 2383 sent 15,000 sats. He says, just updated my years-old D&D tabletop gaming podcast to 2.0. Hoping we won't offend our long-time Patreon subscribers by moving to value for value. For anyone interested in long-time friends playing tabletop RPGs, reviewing products, and not being serious about it, check out GG No Re. That's GG space NO space RE. Go podcasting.
Yo, cool. Bye.
Go podcasting!
Let's see. 11-1-11 from Martin from Podfriend.
Hey, Martin, how you doing?
He says, 100th episode. Wow, feels like just yesterday since I wrote to Adam about accessing the index and then creating that first early open source app implementation. I've been quiet for a while, but I'm having so much fun right now working on Podfriend 2, which is going to be better than ever.
Woo, baby.
Podfriend 2, it's coming to theaters this summer.
Happy episode anniversary and rock on.
Thank you.
Nice, nice
that
man.
That boost. Podfriend 2.
Oh, I'm excited. Podfriend 2. It's like the iPhone 14.
Martin back again, 100,000 sats. And he says, boosting again because 100.
Yes.
Baller.
Just throw a ball at him.
20 inch blaze on the Impala.
So happy he's still in our orbit.
Oh, so straight up. I can't wait to see Podfriend 2.0. I didn't know he was working on that. He's been keeping it down low, man.
Yeah, it's Podfriend 2.0. It's your friend.
Now bigger than ever.
D's laughs. Sent us 838 sats, and he says, show is lit.
Yeah.
It is. Gilligan.
D's laughs.
Sent us 25,000 sats, and he says, go podcasting.
Nice, man.
Go podcasting!
I'm so humbled by these numbers. This is so great.
It's incredible. Steve, that was Steve in Bradenton, Florida. Slewd sent us 1611 sats, and he says, 1611 equals King James boost go podcasting.
Ooh, nice. I'm not quite sure what to play. I don't have a King James thing, but...
Don't just stand there. Boost!
Go podcasting!
Let's just pretend that was King James.
Yeah, it sounded just like him.
Midas sent us 2222 through Fountain, and he says, the boost below me says indirect. This is like an Excel column, an Excel formula. Indirect, open parentheses, address, open parentheses, row, parentheses, plus one column, parentheses.
And you have solved our secret puzzle. Congratulations for boosting us with a row of ducks.
What was that?
I have no idea.
Okay. Stephen B. sends us 100,000 sats.
Oh, man.
Happy 100th episode. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much, brother.
I hope you saw I used screenshots of Curio. Of CurioCaster in my presentation.
Yes.
Yep. Dame Jennifer sent us 100,000 sats. Cue up jingle. Congrats on 100 for this.
Oh, is a little surprise here.
Uh-huh. Happy episode, a.k.a. board meeting 100. Cue that obnoxious air horn.
Please, Apple, come and talk to us. Please, Apple.
Ready for her jingle?
That was the obnoxious air horn, was James.
Okay. I don't know how that happened. Muscle memory. Long COVID. All right. Shall we hit the congrats jingle here?
Yeah, hit it.
Hey, guys. Congratulations on episode 100. You've managed to build an incredible team who are all doing amazing things. I'm looking forward to what we'll see in the hackathon. I'll be at the craft services table eating cake and drinking Prosecco. Out of plastic cups, of course. See you there. Now boost, people. Boost, boost, boost.
Dame Jennifer. The best. She's a big part of it, man. You're a big part of it, Dame Jennifer.
She says she wanted it to sound like those obnoxious celebrities, you know, congratulating each other.
It's hard for her to pull it off entirely because she's just so nice.
There's no underlying douchebag there.
There's not a hint of douchebaggery, no smugness, no jealousy. It's just pure, open, honest thing. We love you, Dame Jennifer. We really do. Yeah. Everybody does. You're fantastic. You should be making a million Satoshis a day being a value for value consultant.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, hey, look who boosted us. It was John Chigi.
No way.
761 sats.
No way. No way.
Boost. I know that guy.
Hey, John, you need to, before I forget, you need to immediately email me your node ID so I can put you in our splits.
Yes.
Notice how we put him in the split after all the million sat boosts come in. Yeah, we're not totally stupid, boy.
And guess what? We didn't have a guest last week.
So no split goes to that. That's true, because that does mean that you stay with us until the next guest is on. It's kind of a cool
birthday to us, is what I'm saying. Happy birthday to us. Hi, Dave and Adam. And listeners of Podcasting 2.0, Brian of London's Python example code with attitude helped me make this boostergram possible. It feels like some kind of hive mind, and I dig it. Anyway, I encourage anyone that isn't already listening to Causality to visit engineered.network as we analyze what went right and what went wrong, and we discover that many outcomes can be predicted, planned for, and even prevented, and you too can decide if the listener that called me a dreamy narrator was right or not. Nice,
man. Thank you.
Yes. Harv Hat, 100,000 sats. Whew. Boost. Thank you, Harv Hat. There's just so many of these. This is nuts. Macintosh sent us 10,000 sats, and he says, happy 100th episode. What an accomplishment. Looking forward to the next 100 episodes and the next dozen or more Podcasting 2.0 features. Go podcasting.
Yo.
Go podcasting!
I am too. Macintosh, we're just the last slide of the presentation was we're just getting started, and that is so it feels true. Like that's 100% true.
Yep.
Jason Yunt sent us 103,099 sats through Podverse, and he says, please defragment me, Adam.
Oh, yes. Love to do that.
You've been defragmented.
And we'll throw in a boost. Thanks. I'm glad people are asking for that.
He says, Adam, if I boost more than $333 worth of Bitcoin to the No Agenda show, will I get credited as an executive producer?
No. Don't do it. Don't do it. No, this is an ongoing conversation I'm having with my partner. So don't do it. Don't rock the boat.
Brian of London in the Hive DAO, 49,524 sats through the V4V app.
Oh, man. Thank you, Brian.
I'm not, he said, okay. Thanks in advance for this, Brian. He says, I'm not a pheasant plucker. I'm a pheasant plucker's mate. I'm only plucking pheasants because the pheasant plucker's late.
you really wanted that me one. To mess that up. Right. Yeah,
thanks a lot.
By the way, I did want to say that, the boosts that come to No Agenda go, of course, to the Clip Custodian. They go to Dreb Scott. And I think we're far enough along the road, and I think we have enough 2.0 value for value podcasters who are also do album art. If you put your Albi address or your node ID in the information where your image is, if we choose you, I'm going to put you in the value split of the No Agenda feed.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's cool.
Because everyone out can just go sign up and get an Albi, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just get an Albi and you just say, here's my details, and then all I have to do is plug it in. Let's do that. Let's get these artists some stuff, some sats.
If anybody wants to do show art for this, for our show too, for
same thing. Oh yeah, great idea. Well, we'll give you a split. Yeah, absolutely.
Do that for sound bites too.
Oh yeah,
It's easy for you to spend our money, Chidgley. Calm down, man.
Yeah. Calming down.
No, actually, calming down.
C-dubs, 10,101 sats, and he says IRC++. Okay, we got to vote for IRC. This is going to be a grudge match. This is going to be a duke it out.
I'm sorry.
Chat protocol grudge match. Let's see. 333,333 sats from Crimson Deer.
Woo!
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blades on the Impala!
third time's a charm? All the threes? Thank you, Adam and Dave and the whole Podcasting 2.0 team. Mike Newman. Oh, that's Mike again.
Oh, man. Mike, you're out of control. He reached a million. No doubt.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, probably more than a million.
Holy cow. Oh, man. Thank you, Mike.
Bombshell.
Sir Spencer, 100,000 sats through CurioCaster, and he says, happy 100th episode. Thanks for all you have done for value for value podcasting, decentralization, and protecting freedom of expression in the podcasting environment. You restored our passion for bowl after bowl and helped us improve our value proposition and our show over these past almost 2 years. We are ever grateful. Sir Spencer and Dame DeLorean, bowlafterbowl.com.
Thank you guys. So nice. Really appreciate the support.
Let's see. We got Chad Farrow, 100,000 sats, 100K for show 100.
Boo.
Go podcasting.
Nice.
100, fire.
Fire, fire. One time for the one time.
Chad Farrow dropped 33 and another 100,000 sats, 100K for the one time.
You guys are crazy. This is so cool.
And did you read Sourced? Congrats on episode 100.
Yes, I think I did.
100K?
If not, 100,000. If not, Boost! Just to recognize it there. There you go.
Yeah, SU Pipe Pipe CD. All right. Thank you, Sourced. Appreciate that. Let's see.
I got that one.
Macintosh sent us 4 1,000 sat boosts. And he says, listened to Thursday episode of No Agenda. I about died laughing at the old man boost. Give me an old man boost. And again, congratulations on 100 episodes.
Boost, boost, boost.
I know what that is.
Is that the old man boost?
That's the old man boost.
Oh, and I'm exhausted. We got the Delimiter, comic strip blogger.
There he is.
15,033 sats. And he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. On September the 3rd in 1939, the United Kingdom, New Zealand, and Australia declared war on Germany after the invasion of Poland. Exactly 25 years later, inventor of podcasting Adam Curry was born. So, happy birthday to you, Adam. Yo.
Thank you for connecting me to Nazis. I really appreciate it, CSB. Highly appreciate it. Thank you for supporting Podcasting 2.0. You've been doing it generously every single week and with code, too. Thank you all for boosting. That's really great. Really great.
Bunch of shadowy super coders. That's what y'all are.
That's right. Any monthlies?
We got some monthlies. Aaron Reno, $5. Pedro Goncalves, $5. Chad Farrow, $20.22. Sister Loretta Vandenberg, $10. Scott Jalbert, $12. Martin Lindeskog, $1. And Mark Graham, $1. Thank you to everybody. And thank you to everybody who's ever donated to the show, even if it's just $1
or time, talent, treasure, you know,
yeah. Or time. Yeah. All you took time out of your schedule to help, and it's greatly appreciated.
And we'll tally this up. We'll see how we did. Let everybody know. But the numerology work, really, I mean, 100,000 sats is $20, and just have like just 20s thrown at you. I mean, I feel a little dirty like a stripper, but come on, this shit is good. It's working. But also just thank you for, I mean, this is not just Adam and Dave, but everybody knows that. This is everybody working together. Mm-hmm. This is some kind of groovy formula that we've stumbled upon, and it just seems to work. I personally think it's because there is a monetary thing involved that everybody can share a piece of, but who knows? Regardless, I'm very, very, very grateful for this, everything that's happened.
Yeah. And thank you to the ballers with Nina Dreb and Pitar and Mike Newman. For, you know, this million sat. I mean, going to Dallas wasn't cheap, and that comes out of the.
Well, know, so far, it's still on my card.
And you got to pay yourself back. I
know, but you didn't have to pay anything, right? It was all on my card when you checked out.
Yes, it went to your card. Yeah.
Okay, good.
So you'll have to transfer that over. And somehow I've got to figure out, this goes back to your thing, John. You know, when you're talking about being deplatformed, and the potential for that, I'm not, I had this experience this week. I'm trying to pay myself back from our PayPal for the cost on my card to pay Tim K for the LNP node. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to pay this bag and it's like, okay, well, you can't send money unless it's for goods and services because it's a business. There's a bunch of,
they've just made it so fucking complicated. Yeah,
it's a nightmare. And then I go in there and I'm trying to link a bank account because I'm going to do a transfer. I won't do a PayPal thing. I'll just do a transfer, try to link my bank account to do it over here. And it's like, oh, you can't do this because it's not, you have to have the name on the account. It's supposed to be the name, same as the name in PayPal. And through this whole thing, I'm like, okay, I'm afraid that doing all this stuff, they're just going to see like shenanigans going on and they're just going to close the account. And like not even that it's content that gets me deplatformed, but that it's this flaky, finicky, trigger happy financial system can just be like, you know what, you're too much trouble, done. Like, or you did one thing wrong. You tried to link something that wasn't, that we don't like, through AI or something, and we're just gonna shut your whole account down.
Yeah, there is a real risk for that. It really sucks.
I'm afraid to do too much to it because I'm afraid that they're just going to be like, you know what? This is weird. You're done. And that alone is worth the price of admission for Lightning or some alternative system, because you can, you know, if I need reimbursement for some expense, it's,
how about this? Why don't we set up, I think I can set up Strike on the podcasting 2.0 account, and then we could just transfer it in sats.
Yeah,
maybe not. We'll think about it. We'll come up with something. I love working around these systems. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I know. It's so
maddening, man. So maddening. What do we give this Chigi guy? We're gonna give him 10%.
10%.
10%. All right.
Do you want to negotiate? You don't even negotiate, John.
You just accept it like that.
Look, I'm just I'm a rollover on this sort of stuff. I'm just stoked to be here. So, you know, whatever you think is fair is fair. It's fine.
It's a Saturday morning. Sure, yeah, really. Whatever.
Damn straight. That's it.
Okay, you're in the block. Good to go there.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, of course. Gents, long board meeting. Do we need to do anything else before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I have other things I want to talk about, but we'll push them till next week.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's so much to talk about. So much to do. So little time. John Chigi, thank you so much, man, for getting up early, for being a part of this community as well, and a big part of it, and very active participant. Yes. And thank you for the financial support. It's like, comes on for free. Takes a cheap split.
And thank you for sharing all your code. Thank you for putting all that up in source. I really I know that wasn't something that you were used to doing, right? You didn't really do a lot of open source before, but you got out of your comfort zone and started doing that. I appreciate it.
That's okay. I'm just hope that anyone that can get anything useful out of it, gets something useful out of it. And thank you, both of you, for actually putting this together, kicking this off, and it's developing a life of its own. The whole podcasting 2.0 thing is just getting better and better every week. So it's exciting to be a part of it. So thank you.
We're just getting started. Just getting started. Have a great weekend. Great Saturday for you. Great weekend for you, Dave. Thank you, everybody, in the chat room. Thank you all so much. Thank you for commenting on the Mastodon. Thank you for being around. And we'll see you next week with another board meeting, Podcasting 2.0. See us right here. We'll be lit as usual.
To Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Please, Apple, come and talk to us. Please, Apple.